members of the radio staff at Radio House, the University of Texas, are proud to have in their record library a copy of a broadcast on which Lieutenant Burford of New York State was interviewed. We are glad that we can make a copy of this record for the family of Lieutenant Burford. We would like to express to you the pleasure we knew in our short acquaintance with this fine young man. When our scriptwriter visited at Navigation School to get material for the broadcast, Lieutenant Burford was assigned to work with the writer in getting the information together. Because he was alert and interesting and had a pleasant and cultivated voice, he was selected as one of the officers to be interviewed. When he flew down from Navigation School to spend the day here at the university, several of us met him out at the airport and brought him here to Radio House. He relaxed from routine and had a big time with us that day. We know, and we feel sure that you know too, that although Lieutenant Burford's span of life was relatively short, his excellent work as an instructor in navigation and the influence of his brilliant mind and charming personality will live on far beyond the duration of this war. This is the time we've been saving to present a young man from the Army Air Forces Navigation School at Hondo. He's from New York State and was sent to Texas a week after joining the Army as a buck private about a year ago. And now here's Lieutenant William J. Burford, who made a special flight to Austin just to be on this broadcast. Lieutenant Burford is an element commander in the Navigation School. He teaches dead reckoning and supervises the work of 10 other instructors. Now, don't let the word instructor mislead you. He's as young as many of the cadets he teaches. On the other hand, don't let the word young mislead you, because the things he knows about navigation...
Pardon me, but if you don't mind, let's get on with the show.
Oh, pardon me, Lieutenant Burford, but that's exactly what I'm doing. For a few minutes here, you are the show. But if you insist on being modest about your own accomplishments, you'll talk about navigators and about the things you teach navigators. Now, in the first place, I want you to tell us what it takes to make a good navigator. What kind of training and temperament is the best for those going into this vital phase of bomber warfare?
So you want to know what it takes to be a navigation officer on a bomber, do you? Well, in the first place, a navigator must be a man who can exercise good judgment at a moment's notice and under any circumstances, whether his plane unexpectedly runs into bad weather or a flock of zeros. And all his calculations must be accurate. There's no time out for mistakes, no matter what happens. The radio gives out, or the drift meter clouds up, or the wind shifts. Still, the navigator must figure out all the problems of time and distance and the course to be flown.
Well, I can understand about the radio or the wind shift problem, but what about this drift meter clouding up? What is a drift meter?
Drift meter is just what its name implies. We have to measure how much we're drifting off course and take it into account in our navigation. If it clouds up, we just don't know where we're drifting.
Then the navigator must be the type of fellow who can keep calm and cool and think clearly no matter how tight the spot.
That's exactly right. And his charts and instruments must be second nature to him. The navigator,
if you want to become navigators, have to have some college training to begin with.
Oh, you have the wrong idea there. No college training is required for a cadet since it's in navigation. After all, it doesn't take a college degree to keep a cool head and exercise good judgment. Of course, mathematics is required for the calculations that must be made. But if a fellow has a high school education and isn't afraid of the math he had to deal with in high school, there's no reason he should be afraid of the math required of him in the navigation school.
Well, Lieutenant Burford, there's another thing I'm curious about. In their spare time, what do the boys talk about most at navigation school?
Spare time, did you say? When a fellow's learning in 15 weeks, we'd ordinarily stretch over a year or two. Time must be rationed. And right now, the ration on spare time amounts to the same thing as none at all. Since talk takes time, conversation at the navigation school is more than 99% navigation talk.
You mean no idle chatter at any time?
No, not enough that you can hear it. Even in the barracks, it's shop talk about the training flights and the lectures they've heard that day and the weather.
The weather? Now, why wouldn't that come under the classification of idle chatter? I always thought the people who didn't have anything but the weather to talk about were pretty dumb with conversation.
Well, I used to think the same thing, but now I feel pretty different about it. Those of us in navigation realize how very important the weather is. cadets in navigation school take a course in meteorology so they'll be able to diagnose the weather, you might say. Ron, a bomber, the navigator is the weatherman. When a crew returns from a flight, it's the navigator who gives the weather report. His log shows what kind of weather has been encountered and what kind can be forecast.
Well, are the aerial navigator's forecasts as accurate as weather forecasts from ground reports?
More so. After all, the navigator is up there where the weather really is. His forecasts include many more observations than are possible from ground reports.
I see. I suppose if it weren't for weather, the navigator wouldn't have much to do.
If it weren't for weather, the navigator wouldn't have anything to do. In fact, wind and weather is the reason for navigation. You could do your flying in a mass of stagnant air, that is, with no wind at all, there'd be no need for wrecking a course. You could just set your plane on a heading and leave it there. If it weren't for wind effects and the heading of a plane, I wouldn't have to be teaching anybody anything about dead reckoning.
Well, just what does the term dead reckoning mean, Lieutenant Buffer?
Well, dead reckoning means determining the course of a ship without reference to visible landmarks below or the stars above. Although there may be a complete overcast above and only an occasional break in the clouds below, a navigator can determine the position of his aircraft at any instant by using the type of instrument navigation we call dead reckoning.
To me, that sounds like an accomplishment akin to magic.
If it's magic, it's just mathematical magic, because the navigator accomplishes it with his computer and his logbook and all his instruments, especially the disk meter.
I see. Well, in addition to being impressed with all the things you people accomplish in navigation school in such a short time, there's another thing that I can't forget about the men who teach and study there.
What's that?
Your complete absorption in all you do. You seem to have shut out everything in the world except navigation. And you're the most determined bunch I've run into lately. You act like the war is just over the hill or just around the corner.
That's exactly the way we feel. We know how much depends on getting the bombers to their destination. For it's the bombers that must spot the enemy and blast him off the earth. At navigation school, we've got to be serious. We have to act like it's final exams every day. We don't have time to slow up and take things easy, even for a few minutes. I haven't noticed the Japs or Germans taking any slower, have you?
No, I haven't.
Well, at navigation school, we may not be much closer to the war in actual distance than the rest of you people, but we're a lot closer in the work we do. You know, the war is going on not too many flight hours away, and there's no time to lose. The bombers must get to the right places, and the navigators must take them there. There's no time to lose.
You're right. There's no time to lose, and we know that you navigators will get the bombers to the right places on time. We salute you, pathfinders of the sky, charting for a course for bombers to fly.